The nation once again finds itself this week traumatized by a video of a Black American shot by police. Across the country, protests have taken on a new fervor after Jacob Blake was injured by officers in Kenosha, Wisconsin. His spinal cord was severed in the incident. In Detroit, protests had already been fairly tense over the past few days, following the arrest of several dozen people after months of mostly nonviolent action in the streets. In addition, several legal observers were beaten by police. Legal observers are folks who attend protests wearing clothing that marks them as being there in a citizen oversight capacity. Sarah Habo is on the board of the National Lawyers Guild. She's an employment attorney in Southfield, and she volunteers as a legal observer. Sarah Habo, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about the work that legal observers do?
Yeah, so the Legal Observer Program actually has been in existence since the 1970s. And what we do is provide on-the-street neutral legal observation and documentation of police behavior to ensure that the rights of citizens exercising their First Amendment rights to protest are protected against unlawful arrests and police misconduct.
Yeah. How long have legal observers been on the streets in Detroit? Does this go back to springtime when the protests first began?
So as soon as the marches began following the killing of George Floyd and then Breonna Taylor, yes, the legal observers have been out there legal observing the protests locally.
About how many people are engaged, do you think?
As legal observers?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, we have a ton of legal observers, probably over 70.
Right. And folks may have seen the bright green hats as they've been looking at videos on Twitter or maybe on TV of some of the protests. As legal observers are at work in the streets, can you tell us a little bit more about the form that their documentation takes? Are they taking notes or doing videos and photos or maybe both?
Yeah, we let our legal observers freestyle, basically. They can either handwrite notes, many do. Some are using voice recording on their phones or a recording device, and others also do phone recordings. I often use my camera.
There was an incident this past Saturday in which police were not just getting physical with protesters in Detroit. They also had contact with some of your observers. Can you tell us a little more about what happened?
Yeah, and I'll just focus on around the time of the arrests. And we were on Woodward Avenue, and basically, the warnings that Detroit police gave to the protesters and everyone present were that people should leave the street and that they could remain so long as they were on the sidewalks. And our legal observers moved to the sidewalks because we want to be out there as long as possible to document what's happening. And at that point, we had three legal observers who were on Woodward. I believe they were closer to the Clifford John R. side. And one of the things that occurred was around June, around the time of the start, is we contacted Deputy Chief Bettison to ensure that our legal observers would not be arrested because two had been arrested at the end of May. And he gives assurance that they wouldn't be arrested, they wouldn't be impeded. And so three of our observers stated that, repeated it very loudly. And in response, the police officers hit one of our legal observers with a baton a couple times. Another one was hit with a police shield being used as a weapon. And then all three of them who just happened to be together were sprayed with pepper spray directly in their faces. And then one of our observers on the opposite side of the street was arrested.
Do you have any indication of the police's rationale for why they acted this way?
I honestly don't. I know that during the police conference that Chief Craig stated that it's difficult to identify who is who during these events. But during that time in June, when we contacted Deputy Chief Bettison, we included a photo. So they have a photo of the hats, and we were told that they were disseminating the photo among their staff so that they all knew, you know, what the hats meant and what we would be doing. And the fact that we don't participate in the protests, that we don't impede the police officers from doing whatever they are doing. We literally stand on the side and document. And when that was repeated to one of the officers, he replied, Deputy Chief Bettison isn't here.
Have you been able to get any formal answers from the department since Saturday about what happened?
We've reached out to Deputy Chief Bettison, and his response has been that he is troubled by what happened, but that wasn't the statement that he made during the press conference with Chief Craig.
Can you describe what he said?
Well, one of the things that was said was that they wanted the protesters to just leave, that whatever they were doing wasn't working, and that was what Deputy Chief Bettison said. But he made no comments about the fact that legal observers were arrested and were beaten and were sprayed directly in the face. And also, you know, Chief Craig stated that basically if you are out there during a protest, expect to be abused. And that's not how the Constitution works.
Sarah, can you tell us a little bit about how you've seen conditions at the protest evolve over the past couple of weeks? Have you noticed any specific changes, maybe even within the past 7 days?
To be totally honest with you, the protesters have, from our view, and again, legal observers have been present at every single march that they have had. And the constant theme is that they're choosing nonviolence, that it's not necessarily peaceful, but the civil rights movement wasn't peaceful either. And so it's really important to distinguish the fact that, you know, they're committed to nonviolence, but this isn't going to be a peaceful change.
We've heard some phrasing from Chief Craig suggesting that he doesn't want Detroit to become, in his words, like Seattle. And he's referring to the area in downtown Seattle in which protesters were basically given to understand that they would be in control of the situation and it would be a no-go zone for the police. From your observation, has there been any indication that longtime activists were designing or planning to try to start something like that in Detroit?
The main thing that demonstrators have expressed during these movements has been that they just want justice, they want equity, and that's been the theme, is they want a community that is safe and that they don't feel like the Detroit Police Department creates a community that's safe.
It feels like there's a pretty big divide in the country right now about people who look at protests in Seattle, in Portland, or, you know, maybe even in Detroit and see a sense of lawlessness. Is that what you see?
It feels like there's a lawlessness, but that lawlessness is within the Detroit Police Department. The fact that a deputy chief of police can give assurances to an organization and then the officers on the scene of, you know, an event can just decide not to honor that. That to me seems like lawlessness.
At the same time, if you know, in your time observing street protests, you know that an awful lot can be going on in several different places at once. There may be three quarters of a march that, you know, stretches a half a mile or so that are completely nonviolent, in which people are protesting, you know, and in a way that is supportive of each other and of the community. And then maybe there's one portion of the march that breaks off and does something that the rest of the protesters wouldn't agree with. Is it possible that that's what's also happening within the department's ranks as well?
I can't speak to what's happening with the Detroit Police Department, you know, any more than what I've experienced. And it just feels like the Detroit Police Department is trying to prevent legal observers from being able to document what's happening. And that to me is incredibly troubling.
Sarah, you said that DPD is acting, in your view, with a lawlessness. Is there anything else that you'd like people to know about things that you've witnessed as a legal observer at these protests?
One of the things that happened was, you know, during the press conference, Police Chief Craig stated that, you know, they used smoke initially. But while I was down there, I was gassed two separate times. You know, my face was burning, my eyes were burning. And when we were down there and trying to regroup with each other, there were visitors who were downtown on scooters, and we saw them coming toward us where the gas was still really strong. And we actually had to tell them to leave because it looked like they were experiencing symptoms from the gas. And the fact that, you know, the Detroit Police Department says, you know, they're fine with visitors coming downtown, but they, you know, at the same time are willing to just gas people downtown. Like, to me, that feels like the police department is okay with visitors coming downtown to enjoy the city. But when they're down there, they're subject to the Detroit Police Department. And they've made comments multiple times about the fact that these protesters don't live in the city. But if I'm visiting in the city and I'm subject to the Detroit Police Department, then I should be able to hold them accountable too. So I just wanna make sure that that distinction is really made. The fact that they talk about where the protesters live, but, you know, everyone can go into any city, and we're subject to the police who are working in those cities. And if they commit acts of violence against us, you know, I should be able to state that I'm not okay with that.
Sarah Habo is an attorney based in Southfield and also volunteers as a legal observer. Sarah, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for your time.
Just a note that we reached out to the Detroit Police Department for comment. We'll be glad to have Chief Craig on the show when he can speak with us about the protests.